Have you ever witnessed somebody create a little bit of success in their life and you're like, oh, maybe they're going to do really well this time, maybe when it comes to a diet or relationship or career success. And then before you know it, they're back down to where they used to be, back to the same old patterns, the same old habits. If so, this is the episode for you to help you understand why that is. Why is that? Why can't we maintain the success? It has to do with our energy. And if we are set up to maintain that kind of energy, that's what we're talking about on today's episode. If you're new here, welcome. This is the Intentional Mind Podcast. And if you've been around, thanks for being around. We're all about helping you intentionally design your life. And I'm Angela Barnard. And today we have a special friend of mine on the show. Her name's Natalie Emka. She is a fellow coach. She teaches around energy. And what I love about her is that she's so good at teaching leaders out there that want to make a positive difference in the world, just like you. If you're listening, that is you. And she talks a lot about really getting into alignment and getting ourselves into a state where we can create success and we can also maintain it. And I just think her perspective of energy and how she teaches around it is so valuable. So let's just get right to it. Let's hear from Natalie.
I'm here to help energetically sensitive leaders, like people like you who are already really sensitive and are really conscious, are really aware of themselves and what they're here to do. I'm here to help you basically do what you came here to do. So I work with executives, I work with conscious leaders across all industries to help them get stronger energetically, to help them function, to help them manage their own energy in a way that's extremely productive and in a way that also brings positivity and light and higher frequency to the planet at this time.
All right. So if you're listening right now and you're all about energetically getting stronger, about being more productive, about bringing more light into the world, keep on listening.
Can you tell us basically energy 101, kind of what, you know what I'm talking about when I say that?
Yes. This is my favorite way and the simplest way to really explain energy. So when you're thinking about energy and yourself, and you know what you're doing here in the world, think of energy in three spheres. There's the first sphere, which is you, the energy of yourself. This includes your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, your blocks, your wounds, the desires of your heart, so the things you're here to do. Those all make up your own energetic frequency, how positive you are, how productive you are. Those are all of certain frequency, and that's the sphere of you. Then there's the circle immediately out from you, which is your sphere of influence. And these are the people that are affected by your energy on a regular basis. They are directly impacted by you, and at the same time, they also have an impact on you. So your energy ripples out to them, and they are rippling back into you. And these are people like your friends, your family, your coworkers, your followers on social media, the people that are immediately impacted by your energetic frequency. That's your own sphere of influence. And then the third sphere is the energy of the world. And as you all know, the past year has been a really interesting time for the planet. The planet has been sitting at a certain frequency. And it might be a little different than where you are sitting or your sphere of influence. So it helps to think of it as a little bit separate from you. So again, then there's you in the center. There's your sphere of influence. And then there's the world. You are impacting your people, and your people then energetically go out and have an impact on the planet as well. And vice versa, the energy of the world is rippling in to your sphere of influence, and you might be feeling it as well. It might be coming into your world. A really good example of that and what happened in 2020 with toilet paper. There was this energetic frequency of fear and scarcity that rippled through the world, and it may have come into your sphere of influence. It came into your awareness, and then you may have felt it. right? That didn't come from you. That came from the world. That came from around you in some way, shape, or form, right? And then you felt it. Your energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be transferred and transmuted and transferred. So you also have the ability to impact energy out, which is what a lot of conscious leaders have been doing over the past year as well. Rippling out positivity, rippling out light into the world, helping to bring change into their industries. And one of the reasons that I've connected with a lot more people in the past year too, is because it's gotten a bit harder, you know, as the frequencies of the planet are denser, there's a lot of fear flying around. There's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of intensity. It's become even more intense for conscious leaders because we're feeling it all. And at the same time, we're trying to ripple light out as well into our spheres of influence and therefore out into the world. So this is the breakdown. This is the way that I see it and the way that I explain it for anybody. You know, this affects really anybody because we are all energetic beings and we all have a sphere of influence. No matter how big your sphere of influence is, you still have one. So this therefore applies.
Yeah, I'm like sitting over here nodding my head. And I remember when we used to do our coaching sessions, just how much you would help me get my energy into alignment, especially, and I know a lot of people listening too, they show up. I mean, like you said, we all have our sphere of influence, like, but they're showing up and they're like, they want to help people. They want to improve other people's lives. And it's so important when you think about those spheres that you start with yourself and your own energy. So what are some of your tips around like getting our own energy in alignment despite everything that's happening around us?
Yes. This is, you touched on a really good point, Ange. I love this. So often, as you know, people who are a little bit more aware, you can see things in your sphere of influence that could be changed. You know, they're a little bit off, they're a little bit you know, denser, or you just see things, you see opportunities for change. And it can be tempting to speak it, right? Instead mm-hmm. of being that energy, instead of being different first and allowing that to ripple out. Because when you launch it, you know, advice at somebody, maybe unsolicited in your sphere of influence, they can take it, not always, but a lot of people take it as right or wrong, or you saying this, or you saying that. And that is a way I think that the human mind operates. And we got to love our human bodies because our human eye, like the way, even just the anatomy of the human body is fascinating, right? Your eyes point out, like you point out into the world, you take in information first. The human body is literally trained to take information outside of us in first and then process it, right? So the temptation is always to start outside of yourself or look outside of yourself for answers. But when you think about these spheres of energy and spheres of influence, really, you remember and you realize that it really does start with you. And if you want to ripple light out into the world, start with yourself and the ways that maybe you are not operating in the most light-filled way. You know, what's going on here? How are you talking to yourself? What is your intention for the day? Because that is being felt, whether you know it or not. So even if you're not doing this, you're not consciously setting an intention and you're not consciously aware of where you're putting your energy is still moving into your sphere. It's still moving into the world in some way, shape, or form. So when we say start with you, we're really saying, hey, get really clear on what it is that you're wanting to send out today. What it is that you're wanting to offer into the world, and tune into that frequency first before you take even, you know, a step outside of your house. And that intention is so powerful because that will help you then shine brighter than whatever else is around you too. Suppose there's a lot of fear around you. And if you are feeling fear, you process it for yourself. And then you lovingly shift your energy to the energy of faith or the energy of love, then you can also set your intention to have that radiate bigger than the sphere of influence that might be radiating at a lower frequency. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love how you said that, especially when you use the word intention. And it made me even think about it just differently around instead of being all about the doing, and I talk a lot about this on the show, it's like, it's about who are you being and really making sure that you take that time for yourself to tune in, to decide how do I want to show up? What kind of energy do I want to emit into the world? And realize that you always are impacting others. Like, it's like people can think like, oh, okay, because I don't take care of myself, like that's on me. But it's like, think about all the people you interact with and in your space, like what kind of energy are you transmitting? And then also like, what does it bring back to you? Mm-hmm. And because I think sometimes we put this, the concept of, you know, caring for yourself on the back burner, like I'll do that after all my stuff gets done. And if I have leftover time, then I'll take some time for me. But yeah, it's like, no, understanding that you are a transmitter of energy. You're showing up. And what's going to come out of you? And then I love that recently in your podcast, you talked about this, the light bulb metaphor and all of that. And that's what I just thought of in my mind of like, if I'm like turning, it's like, what is causing that light bulb to turn on and like shine bright? It's deeper than just the bulb itself. It's like more internal than that. So tell me about that metaphor, what you mean by that. Yes.
Oh, this is so good. I love this discussion. Again, because it takes a little bit of training, you know, like I was talking about the actual anatomy of the human body, the eyes look out, you know, we were born into this world where we're going, oh, okay, what's around me? Let's take in the information there first. And as we become more conscious and more intentional, we are training that muscle, that self-development muscle, that consciousness in ourselves. We're training it with love. We're getting that muscle stronger so that we do remember, oh, it's actually me. It starts with me. If I'm seeing something around me that I don't like, what is that reflecting back into me? Or what is that showing me about myself? We get really, really strong in that muscle and we start to see the world in that way, which is really fantastic. And this is related to the wiring. Okay, so let me explain that analogy a little bit more in depth. High frequency and high energy, like high vibrational energy, like positive, powerful, high frequency energy can be equated to a light bulb. And the analogy that came out on the podcast was, it was talking about how so many people are trying to change the action, you know, they're trying to just like kind of change their mind or just create a new habit. And their house or their energetic field of their body isn't wired to hold the higher light bulb or the larger wattage light bulb, right? So imagine your house is old and you really want brighter lighting in your house and you just start to put in these high wattage light bulbs. You start to try to like do the thing, you start to try to operate in high frequency all the time, but you haven't necessarily updated the wiring in your house to reflect that and be able to hold those bulbs. So the wiring will cause the bulbs to short out. I see this all the time with people who are just trying to change their mind or just trying to create a new mindset or new habit. And I say with love, you actually need to start with your energy field first. You need to lovingly clear out some of the old behaviors from the inside first. You know, it's not just like, oh, okay, I'm going to start getting up early and eating better. That's like just trying to change the light bulb, because if your energetic field can't support the higher frequencies, meaning if you haven't really looked at your behaviors and asked yourself, okay, wait a sec, why haven't I been eating healthy? What's going on with myself? What's going on in my body? What fears are there? What pain is there? What's needing to be shifted? What's needing to be released? That actually will shift your energetic frequency so that you don't fall back into the behavior again, you know, after trying to change it. Your wiring naturally gets upgraded so you can hold those high frequency light bulbs. And this is, you know, relating it to behavior or thoughts or feelings. You are able to hold the higher frequency when you do the work to clean out why things have been the way they are. So, you know, get yourself a coach or an energetic electrician who can go in and look at your wiring with you to help you look at the why behind those behaviors. Because even if you weren't aware of the why, there was still a why. you know, your wiring is the way it was for a reason. And with love, you know, my podcast episodes go into more depth about this too, but with love, it's part of the human experience, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a matter of, okay, I want to shift and improve my life or become a different frequency now. Therefore, I got to look at why and how I was wired up before. And that's it. You know, there's no judgment about it. It's just going, okay, well, that's served. That's what that was. And now I know I want to do something different. So how do I get there?
I love that analogy so much because I think about like you moving into like a new space and let's say like the wiring, like you're like, oh, I want the lights to be brighter here. But you see that the wiring is old. It has a bunch of issues. Like the lights can't be brighter until you do the work on the rewiring. And it makes me think about like our lives in general. When we want to improve something, we got to look back at that wiring. And recently, this has been a lesson that I've been learning in my own programs. Like I teach a lot around strategy. We were just talking about this. And something I've learned recently, I was like, wait, Ange, remember you're an energy coach. Like you can call yourself a career, you help people with career stuff, you help them develop new habits and systems that align with them. But at the end of the day, you are an energy coach and you understand that if there is a lot of catabolic energy is what we would call it, like built up in there, that like think about it as wiring that's not in alignment with the brighter lights that they want, we're going to have to do some rewiring. You yes. can't just be like, here's some new bulbs.
Right?
Because it's not going to work.
Yes. Another great area that this applies to is with money and abundance. So, you know, you can say you want more money. You can say you want to create more money. You can start doing things to try to create more money, but there's still some wiring in there that needs to be upgraded in your field to help you, you know, heal or shift your energy around whatever money habit or money belief was there before, so that you can then hold the bigger energy of more money when it comes in. Otherwise your default will kick in. And even if you bring in more money, it'll somehow leave again.
And yeah.
Yeah. You've got to upgrade everything if you're wanting to hold more. So I see this a lot with people. They're saying they want more light in their life. They're saying they want to be more high frequency, but maybe aren't totally willing to do the work to be able to then hold it. That's the thing. You know, I've been studying spirituality and human behavior for a very, very long time now. And I've seen a lot of people who can tap into high frequency, tap into, you know, powerful, high vibration, but then they drop out of it at the end of the day. And they're like, oh, okay, that was, you know, I can't hold that. I'm good. That was a good day, but you know, I'm going to go and eat a bunch of junk food now and drink a bunch of alcohol. And that's not being, you know, that's not being able to hold the high frequency. Does that make sense? So it's just something yeah. that can happen. And we look at this with so much love. We look at it with love because you actually, if we talk about this, you know, on a little bit more of a spiritual plane here for 10 seconds, you are an infinite being of light. So you theoretically should be able to plug into that knowingness and stay there, right? Because it's your natural mm-hmm. state, but your wiring may not fully support it yet in your body. And that's where we do the energy coaching. That's where we do the energy work so that you can get back to your natural state. There's a lot of energy as I'm saying this. I can feel it rushing through my body. So hopefully this is landing for somebody. This is the truth for somebody. Because again, this is who you are. And when my work, you know, comes in here, I really apply this to your mission too. This is what you came here to do. But if you're not fully in it yet, if you're not fully activated, you're not fully living your mission yet, there are reasons why. Let's figure it out. Because again, this is your natural state. This is what you're here to do and be and bring. So there's no reason why you can't stay there all the time once we do this work.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I think about how the breaker would like always go off like in our house when we would try to like set up all, because it's not wired to like handle all of the electricity. And like yeah. you can keep on like plugging things in and it will like, you know, what do they call it? Like hit the breaker. I don't know how you describe this, but yeah. everything will shut off, right? Yeah. And then nothing uh-huh. works. Exactly. And then you'll do it again and it'll keep happening. And you're like, you need to do some rewiring. Correct. Like that's what needs to happen. And I love that you're talking about this because I think a lot of coaches out there
are, you know, sharing like all these amazing strategies and tools. And you see this all the time with programs. People take programs and they don't follow through. Yes. This is not because the strategies aren't good. It's because there's some rewiring that needs to happen.
Yep.
Like, and I just got the chills saying that because it's just been a huge aha moment for me, where even how I'm changing how I'm doing my coaching, like I bring it, like now I've just learned I'm bringing it always back to energy first. And like this new program that I'm running for the second time, this whole component of energy is in it. And it wasn't before. I didn't touch on it as much because I'm realizing like, wait, Ange, you can't keep giving them new light bulbs. Like, yeah, they're good light bulbs. They're going to be amazing light, but they don't have the wiring to support it. We have to step back. And sometimes it's hard because people don't want to do that work. Yes. Because it's talent. Like, you bring up a lot of your stuff and it does not always feel good. Like, mm-hmm. You know,
you get it. And you absolutely get it. Wrote this yesterday. Everything you want is going to require you to go through discomfort. Mm-hmm. That's the phrase that channeled down. Everything you want is going to require you to go through.
Oh, I love that. I was just thinking of like something happened recently where I have some friends that are dealing with a hard time, and I shared this kind of analogy or metaphor with them, and basically like they're healing their relationship, you know? So mm-hmm. I was like talking about how my husband, being a dentist, like he gets asked often, like if he does a surgery for someone, like pulls the teeth out or does the things, and they're like, is this gonna hurt? Like, is it gonna hurt for a while? And he's like, yeah, you just had surgery. Like you're going through healing. Like healing isn't always, it doesn't feel good. You know, like, I mean, like you're going to deal with discomfort, but that's a part of the process. And like you were just alluding to, is like when we start to like up level, like we want to even shine brighter, we're going to have to do some more rewiring. It just keeps coming, you know?
It's so true. And as coaches, I don't know if you have a lot of coaches that listen to this, but this is coming. So I feel like I'm supposed to say this as coaches too. When we're holding space for somebody to heal, there's no room for you to have an ego around whether or not they're doing the things that they said they were going to do. And I see this a lot in the coaching industry. You probably see this too, where people, coaches are attached to results that their clients are getting and being able to then, you know, broadcast that their clients are doing XYZ because they worked with them. And with love, when you move into the world of helping people rewire, it's a very gentle and subtle process. It's also extremely powerful. And in my belief, the most transformational, the most impactful work you can do in this life. But it requires radical compassion and no ego. And so take this and apply this to your own healing process, you know, trying to put timelines on it, trying to put, you know, results on it. Like Ian doesn't say, oh, you're going to be 100% without any symptoms and any pain after 2 days. No, he allows space for the healing process. He allows space for the energy to do its thing. And it's the same way when you're doing a rewiring process. You know, people tend to try to put themselves on a track and say they want to hit, you know, this particular goal. And I see it with coaches. Coaches are like, okay, let's get you here by this time, you know, blah, blah, blah. But with love, when you're rewiring, it's a very gentle process. Now you can keep your foot on the gas. You have your own free will with how fast you put your foot on the gas and keep going. But are you, you know, pushing yourself forward, or are you loving yourself forward through that process? And that's the question to really tune into. And that's the way to go through this rewiring process with even more love. So if you say you want to bring light to the planet, you say you want to bring high frequency, this again is kind of coming full circle here, because it really does start with the how you do anything, even for yourself.
So I'm writing this down, that are the question that you just said is like, are you pushing yourself forward or loving yourself through the process? Because the other thing I was just going to ask you is like, how do you know that you're, I would say, stepping out of alignment? It's like when it feels like, we're not here to say that we just talked about it being uncomfortable, but you can love yourself through discomfort.
Correct.
But it's different. It's a different kind of energy when you're trying to like force something to happen, right? Tell us more about that.
Yes. This is going to be different for everybody. You have to tune into it for yourself. But some symptoms, if you're kind of beating yourself forward, look for a lot of quote right and wrong thinking. You know, you thinking, oh, I'm doing this wrong, or oh, this should be this, or this is the right way to do it. Look for that, because that can be the energy of not love, you know, the energy of kind of pushing yourself forward. Also, there's a fine line here too between meeting your goals at a certain timeline and also giving yourself the space to move through it when, you know, and let it unfold as it needs to unfold. This is a really fine line here, which is, it's one of the reasons that I know I'm a coach who's about to say this. I don't set goals, quote unquote, in the traditional sense. I set intentions. I am able to put a lot of energy towards something and creating something, and that's my intention. But the traditional markers are usually just markers of the mind. Like, oh, I want to hit, you know, this particular income goal by this date and this time. That is, I say this with love, it's putting your own power outside of yourself too. Because you're like, okay, if I hit it by this date, or I hit it by the calendar, you know, saying this number, then great, I'm good. Or if I hit this marker in the bank, then this means this. And with love, you've got to work on shifting your energy to then, like we've talked about, be able to hold that without pushing yourself there. But it's a fine line, because we are on a planet where time and, you know, money are factors. I call them constructs of the human experience. Like, we have to acknowledge that those exist. So again, it's the fine line between really beating yourself forward to meet these arbitrary goals and loving yourself through the intention to really grow and shift and heal this. And it takes how long it takes, but you're still keeping your foot on the gas. You know, I see this with spiritual beings and conscious leaders too. Sometimes they're like, well, I'm just going to go with the flow. And they do it maybe in an almost unhealthy way as well, where then they like take their foot off the gas. They don't continue moving. So it's a fine line, and only you are going to know what it feels like in yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's the question, you know, this invites the question, you know, how am I doing today? This invites intention. This invites you even raising your own consciousness around where you're sitting with your own levels of high frequency and your own connection to love and to source and, you know, tuning in. If you're also trying to control something, or you're feeling kind of strung out, quote unquote, those are also symptoms of, you know, trying to maybe beat yourself forward or push yourself too hard, because you can be disciplined and still be loving yourself through that in a disciplined way.
Yeah. And that's a lesson that I've had to learn. And I know that we both, because back in the day, like, so Natalie and I both are like writing our books and like all the things. And we like, there's been time both of us are like, we're going to map this out. Why not? We're going to write, you know, like, you want this thing to happen, but it's like, there's a time and a place for that too. It's like, we're being intentional. Like, we know we have a book on our heart that's coming down, you know, like, I would say like that God has given us these ideas, and like, we're about to bring it out into the world. Like, we know that that's happening, but what happens is sometimes the ego likes to get in there, and it's going to be like, at this time, and it's gonna look this way, you know? And then you just have to know, like, you can feel it. Cause even as I said that, I can feel like when I'm trying to control something, and you've seen in your own life, Natalie, with your book and all the things that are happening, it's like, this is coming, like, this is now the time for it, where it doesn't feel like you have to force it anymore. It's like listening to that higher, like, self, or that voice, whatever you want to call it.
And this is where trust does come in as well. You know, if you are trying something, you know, 7 different ways to Sunday, and it's not working, and there's something that is stopping you, this is where trust comes in as well. And my people, my clients and my people in the community will hear me say this a lot. I do trust the unfolding. I trust everything. You know, like, for example, the book, I was really trying to get the outline down, whenever this happened over a year ago, I think now, and it wasn't falling into place. I was trying, I was beating myself up, trying to get it out and done, but with love, that actually went against the whole message of the book. And so I had to just kind of sit back and say, okay, I'm trusting. And I let myself move through the rest of 2020 and get this greater understanding and knowledge that I wouldn't have had if I was trying to beat myself forward before. So again, it is a fine line. And now you look back, and I always say the dots make sense too. When you look back, sometimes I'm able to connect the dots really easily for myself. And I go, oh, okay, that's why that wasn't happening. You know, we were talking about this with the event. You know, I was in 2019, getting guidance to have an event. And so I started the process in September 2019. I started connecting with my event planners, these amazing people in my life that know what they're doing. And venues were not landing in for some reason. We were starting 2020. I remember we were talking to several venues at the beginning of February, trying to figure some things out. And things were not landing. People were not calling us back. And yet every week we were on it, we were trying to make it happen. And then the world shut down in March of 2020. Mm-hmm. And I knew that we were being protected. You know, it was a greater power. It was guidance, you know, saying like, yes, you're supposed to keep moving, but like, hang on. And talk about trust. You know, there really is an element of trust. And this is where you tune into this for yourself too. Do you trust in something bigger than you? Do you trust that you are a vessel? Do you trust that you're going to be provided for? Those are questions, you know, those are questions that can help you look at your own wiring, because everything is constantly going to be mirroring back to you opportunities to ask yourself that question as well.
Mm-hmm. I just wrote down trust and surrender, and then just the mindset of like, you know, that things are happening for you. And even if you feel like frustrated, like, why am I not finding the venues or getting the people or whatever is your frustration? And I've been trying so hard and it's not working out. Like, trusting that this is happening for you. And like, God is like always for you. And, you know, like, it makes me think about your event story. You know, it's like, look what happened, like, shortly after the world shut down pretty much with COVID. And now all these opportunities are happening. And it's amazing because now you have all these new things to share since you've started your coaching school and all the things that you've learned. And your book now is like, it's makes sense. It's like you needed to learn some more information to let it flow better. And I've been listening to myself more of like, I'm intentional, but I'm unattached. And it really comes back to that. And when I'm talking about goals, everybody knows I'm all about the goals, but not in the traditional sense. I'm a huge advocate against that. I'm talking about like not being attached to results.
Yes.
It's about, am I being the person I want to be? Mm-hmm. Am I being more of that person? That's what I'm looking at in my life. And it's never about like, because I know sometimes my ego likes to get in there, likes to throw all the numbers in there and start to be attached. And I can feel that. And it's like, this is not being more of like who I truly want to be. I don't want to be the person that's all like attached. And because then what happens is like the way I feel is based on external circumstances that are out of my control. I can't control how people are going to listen to my podcast. I cannot control that, you know, ever. It doesn't matter how I show up. And like, I can't control like truly how much money is going to come in. Like, you know, like what if COVID happens and nobody like people lose all their businesses and they don't have any money, but like, I'm still like, I can't control that. All I can ever do is just show up more in alignment. Like, I can manage my own energy. I can do things that help me shift my energy. And I know that you are big on, like you said earlier, like, you know, it's not about like having the best like crystal next to you or the oils or whatever people are into nowadays. Like, it's not about that, but really thinking about like, there's things in our environment that can help enhance our energy. And I know that you drink a lot of water. So I'm just really curious before we wrap this up, because there's so many things that you could say, what are some of the things that you intentionally put in your environment or you do to help your energy get in alignment?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, I just love you. And I love everything that you were saying. And thank you for bringing up detachment too. Just like 2 seconds on that. Detachment is going to be one of the biggest lessons that every conscious leader, every intention work through. And you have to find your own balance with that. How can you be ambitiously content, you know, or contently ambitious, however we want to say that, you know, and detached yet also intentional. It's really the beautiful game and balance that you get to start to tune into for yourself. So I love that. And keeping in this particular intention, I drink so much water. It's really powerful in my life. I swear by it. This is my number one tip for leaders. My number one tip for executives. If you want to start to tune into your energy, if you want to really start to take control of your energetic field and frequency, drink 32 ounces of water first thing in the morning. Right when you wake up, drink 32 ounces of water, or at least within your first hour of waking up, get that 32 ounces in. Try this for 7 days. It will change your life. This is so powerful. And it literally gets you in flow. It gets you more connected. It makes your body and your brain more aware. 32 ounces is the magic number. That is my tip, first of all. And then I do a lot of other things to support my body. And also, I call it the internal work with the healing, you know, constantly making sure I'm connected to high frequency. And I do things to support my body as well. I eat really high vibrational foods, lots of veggies, lots of fruits. I eat a little bit of meat. I was vegan for years, but I do now eat a little bit of meat. I have for probably like 3 years now. I eat a little bit of animal protein, only red meat when I know I need it. My body will ask me for it. And I know I need a little bit more grounding and it'll help me. I'm still really strict, no dairy, no eggs. That really helps me. Just kind of keep my mind really clean and clear. I do a couple other little things, like my house has a lot of crystals and it's gridded. So it helps me because I do so much work here. I do in-person work too. And so it's gridded to help hold the frequency around me so that I can move in it. So these are things that you can just tune into for yourself as well. Your environment says a lot about you. Think of your environment as a little mini sphere of influence too, you know? What are you, if you have a lot of clutter around, that's energy. If you've got, piles of dirty laundry around, like that's an energy, you know, and it is a little bit more dense. So if you're wanting to create more flow in your life, you're wanting to have more high frequency and really be connected. And I think everybody should be even more connected because that's where your intuition lies, you know, when you're connected to yourself and to source and that's where magic really is possible. And it happens because it flows through you. And so doing the work to look and see maybe where you've got little dense pockets of energy around you actually helps you get cleaner and clearer on the inside too. So everything is energy. So if there's, you know, density around you, there's messiness around you, there might be a little messiness inside too, because you've created that. So just tune into that too. And it's okay. You know, nothing is good or bad or right or wrong. It's just a matter of what's there in my life and how do I actually want it to be? So just look at it like it's different. It's not good or bad or right or wrong. You're just, as your awareness heightens, you're becoming aware of things you want to do differently. And that's it. You know, that's really loving yourself.
Oh, I love that. And that's like when we were talking about my book idea, I wanted to call it differently and basically centered around the question, like, what do you want to do differently? Like, now that you know everything you know, what do you want to do differently? And it's not a way of like shaming you in any way. It's like, whoa, I'm awake now. I see that there's these piles of things that are stealing my energy. And I love that you said, you know, that reminder, everything is energy. It's not just some like weird woo-woo thing. I always say that because some people are like, oh, you know, and then you have these crystals. Okay, everything's vibrating at a frequency.
Correct.
You bring things in from nature, like studies, research shows this, that just being in nature shifts your energy, makes you feel good. So sometimes people put things in their environment that are straight from nature that have different frequencies because everything's vibrating at certain frequencies. They put that into their space so that it can help shift them. And the other thought that came to mind, one, you talked about drinking a lot of water. I'm a huge advocate of drinking a lot of water. People see how I try to make my water pretty. And I love like the glass jar, like you like to do. I like your water dance parties, like whatever you gotta do to make it fun, make it fun. Because I think about our work is really like, we're here clearing people's energy so that they can truly be more of who they already are. Cause all the layers, the stuff, like the light can't shine because there's too many layers like covering the light. So it's like, we gotta like, remove that, right? So that you can shine. And it's not about like, we're coming in and like, we know all the things and then you're gonna, no, we're here doing our same work, shedding our layers. But then it made me think about water in general. It's like, you know, being more of who you already truly are. And I think about water, like you are mostly water. Exactly. So like, it's just funny to think about it that way. It's like, drink a lot of water. Like, this is going to help you be more of who you really already are. And then the other thought that came to mind was, remember that show, I forget what it was called, like Room Raiders or something, where they like, look, so what they did was, it was like this MTV show way back in the day. I don't even know if it was called that, but basically a person that was going to go on, she got to decide who she was going to go on a date with, but she looked at their room first. So you didn't know them. You just went through their room and you went through four rooms and you decided who you wanted to take out on a date. And if their room was like a pigsty, you'd like judging them by all this stuff. Like, what is this? And then you picked them based on their room. So it was really interesting because it made me just think in my mind, if somebody went and did a raid of my space, what would be the thoughts like who they think I am like in the space? And I think about even more importantly, like when I look around my space, like what is the story that is there? Like, you know, what's the energy that is there? Like, yes. If I have all these piles and this clutter, like that's a representation of what's happening internally. It always is.
Yes, it is. And it's okay if you notice little pockets of these. Like I was just mm-hmm. joking about this the other day. I don't drink regular caffeine coffee all the time. I drink decaf, and I was giggling about this the other day.
Me too.
I look down and I know, I love the taste of it. It grounds me. I love it, even though mm-hmm. I don't handle all the caffeine. But I looked at my desk and I had four coffee mugs that were empty sitting on my desk, and I giggled because I thought, okay, well, that's there. And then, you know, you pick it up and you move it. And it's all about awareness. Like, it's not right or bad or good or bad or right or wrong. It's just, hey, what's there and what do I not want to be there? And then you notice the difference and you see it differently. And then it sticks, you know, the awareness is really what sticks. And because you're always going to stray just a little bit from your, center. It's just a matter of how quickly you notice it and how quickly you then get back to center. And then the last piece I just want to say is that this work actually compounds on itself, because like we talk about, it is your natural state to be in flow. It is your natural state to you know, listen to your intuition and things like that. You just need to train yourself to get there, but it holds when you get there because it's your natural state. So that awareness is helping you become more of you.
Exactly. And that just, when you talked about the mugs, another thought just popped into my mind, like having those mugs everywhere and you're like, oh, like, okay, like there it is. And then you like, you move the mugs and you see it first. But it's funny because I was listening to the scientific study and it was talking about how when it comes to like the thoughts, you know, that we have that might lead us to doing things that we don't want to do, like those negative kinds of thoughts that are repeated over and over. Mm-hmm. The best way that we work through that is through kindness and love. And that's how the studies show. So there was like this thing where like you notice it. And then the advice was to say, oh, well, like you notice it and you're like, oh, well, like, and then you do the work, right? But you're not mean to yourself about it.
Exactly.
And there was like all of this research that was showing that these people were way more successful at like having themselves feel good and changing habits and things like that when they approached it from this love and kindness place.
Correct. That's what I always say. It's not what you're seeing. It's how you're feeling about what you're seeing. And it's not what you're feeling that's the problem. It's how you're feeling about how you're feeling. So again, if you were to look at that, see something and go, oh my God, I'm bad. I'm wrong. I'm this, I'm that. And it that actually has the opposite effect of what you're really wanting to create, right? Beating yourself up is not actually doing the work to change it. So I see the four mugs, I giggle, I love myself through it, and I pick them up, I take them downstairs, put them in the dishwasher, and keep going. You know, it's cleared, it's done, you move, and you keep yourself through all the next things. Again, you're changing it. This is the kind of the thing we were talking about earlier about, you know, discipline and keeping yourself moving. The oh well can be a toxic oh well, or it can be a productive oh well.
Yeah. Exactly. It's, and going back to energy, like we get asked this all the time as coaches, is like, well, what if someone says this? And what if they say that? And then, you know, it's like, what if that person does always try to give me stuff? Then they're coming from this higher place. It's like, what's the intention behind it? Because if someone's trying to give you something because they want to feed their ego, and it's coming from that lower. So it's always, for anyone listening, it's not about specific words, but it's really about the intention, like the energy that we're emitting with things that we're doing. And only we know that when we say something. But I feel like this lesson was what I needed today, because I'm even thinking about, like, you know, like some of my own triggers. Like this weekend I had a trigger, like it showed up and like I was like, like I still got work left to do. And you mentioned this on your podcast where you're like, I thought I did a lot of work on that already, but it's still triggering me. And it's funny because even this morning I found myself wanting to like my initial reaction was to be like, I can't believe you showed up that way. And like, you let that bother you and blah, blah, blah. Although the stories were coming up. And then I was like, wait, step back. What do you want to make this mean? Like, oh, now that I know what I know, I realize, there's still work left to be done in that area. And now what do I want to do differently? And like, that's the work that we're talking about here.
Yes, exactly. You get it.
Well, I'm so grateful that you came on. I want everybody to know where they can find you. So tell us where we can find you.
Okay. Well, there's a couple ways to connect with me. NatalieEmka.com, my last name, E-H-M-K-A. That will show you the cool opportunities to connect with me. Oh, and then if you're also wanting a daily connection, a daily download, you can actually go to natalieemka.com/daily download and register for the next Conscious Leader Daily. It's a little download that's straight channeled for you to help you remember who you are, to help you tune into high frequency. It comes into your inbox every single day, a little reminder, a little love note from your highest self. And then you can also just check me out on my podcast, the next Conscious Leader podcast. We've got lots more tips and stuff over there.
I love talking about energy. This was so fun. I hope that you all are enjoying the energy sessions. And if you are, let me know. Remember, you can always reach out to me on my Instagram at Ange Barnard. That's the one that I'm usually on. So that's the best place to find me. All right, I hope that you have an awesome week, an energy-filled week. Enjoy. I will talk to you soon. Bye.